So to be with them, right? Empathy is to be with you in your sadness and to make it about you. And in the end, you don't feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're one. I'm with you in the sad place. And I'm okay. I accept sadness is life. I don't die here. I don't get lost in your sadness. In your sad, I just got to be here with you.
Good day, friends. Jonathan Darty here with another episode of the PSR Podcast, which is a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries. In today's episode, I sit down with my good friend and colleague, Dr. Steven Cervantes, a.k.a. Dr. Marriage, to explore the vital roles of empathy, attunement, and responsiveness in relationships. We share some personal stories and practical tips for husbands who want to connect more deeply with their wives. Dr. Cervantes explains how empathy means practicing sadness with someone, and we discuss how attunement and responsiveness help build emotional closeness. So whether you're new to these skills or looking to grow, this conversation offers encouragement and real-life tools for nurturing a more compassionate, Christ-centered marriage. To get daily insights from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources, you can visit our website at bebroken.org and check out all the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. As always, friends, I'm going to invite you, please rate and review the podcast after listening because it helps others to find it. Now, let's go ahead and dig into today's practical conversation that I'm certain is going to improve your marriage. Well, all right, Dr. Marriage, Steven Cervantes, how are you doing?
Hey, I forgot. Go read my post at drmarriage.org. I put out a daily thought that a husband can read to his wife, and they can have a dialogue and work on emotional growth.
Yeah.
So yeah. drmarriage.org. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Well, we are going to be getting today into a topic about empathy, attunement, and responsiveness. But before...
Empathy, attunement, and responsiveness.
Yeah, okay. But before we do that, we are right at the end of this year, which means that we are going to ask you, listeners and viewers, to come alongside and partner with us.
Yes.
We rely completely on financial contributions from folks. I mean, we rely on the generosity of others for us to do this podcast. The reason that you're getting this podcast absolutely free is because people have chosen to support us. One podcast, it takes about $360 just to produce one podcast, which, by the way, that's really, really inexpensive. That could be a $30 monthly gift. Or if you want to give one time, you can do that. And we've got a special matching gift at the end of this year. So for every dollar that you give to our ministry, it'll be matched 100%. So, and if you decide to come along as a monthly partner, like let's say you do the $30 a month, the match will be for the 12 months. So the match would be $360. So Stephen, why do you think, I mean, what would be your encouragement to our listeners and viewers to support this ministry?
I love everybody that's affiliated with this ministry. They have a heart of service. They're on growth mission. They're serving and helping the strugglers out there. When somebody comes in messed up because they messed up, they get help. They always find the women's ministry is helping the women, the men's ministry. Now we have family and children. And so you can get help here, number one. Number two, we're a growth community. Mm-hmm. So what do you think this podcast is about? It's about Jonathan and I growing and sharing our lives with you. So I thank you for walking along this journey. Some of you guys have been with us a long time,
you know? Yeah.
And we can't see your face, but we know you're there. And in the kingdom, we are all connected. And so because we're such a wonderful community of people that are messed up and helpers, serving one another, providing information, like we're calling the community forward into Christ-likeness. That's what this is about. And I just thank you for helping us.
Yeah, we're super thankful for our partners. We call our partners champions because you're really championing this ministry. So if you'd like to come alongside of us with either a one-time year-end gift or maybe even become a monthly partner, you can just go to bebroken.org/donate and learn all about the ways that you can partner with us. So Stephen, empathy, attunement, and responsiveness. I told Stephen before we started this episode, I was like, I always know the episodes that are going to get him really jazzed, because it's like, this is right in his wheelhouse.
And sometimes I just talk, folks, and thank you for letting me just talk. I feel like we're family, so it's funny because how did I get into counseling? I used to be a city planner, and all the secretaries would come to my office and tell me their problems. It's like, I don't know what to tell you. And then this Paul Faulkner came to our church and said, we do this marriage training program in Abilene, Texas. So I went down, studied for 2 years. I want to be a marriage counselor. Then I go to work and you run into all these guys that are messed up. And you go, we're going to grow a great marriage, but how do you do it with a messed up guy? So then I start working on sexual issues, because it's like there's anger problems, right? There's control, there's perfection. Pick them all. So I think sexuality has always confused me. I'm a guy. Why don't I just study that? So I go on this long journey thing, man, I'm going to be good at sexual addiction. And you know what I've come to recently? I just love marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. I just love basic marriage counseling where two people are in conflict with each other. So that's why these skills are so important. Mm-hmm. Because one, you get a guy who's acting out sexually, you get him to settle down and to start working a program of attaching better to his wife, but he's got no tools in his toolbox. And you say, well, just do it.
Yeah.
And a wife thinks, well, you did it all out there, and I'll come home and do it here. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Why doesn't that work, Jonathan?
Well, I wouldn't say that what was going on out there was genuine, authentic, was rooted in real attachment or even attunement. It was like there was a particular goal.
Okay.
And all of that was just a means to an end.
So you're on a mission to accomplish a task.
So if you're trying to go have an affair, you're trying to go get a prostitute, or even if you're going to porn, it's not about building a relationship. It's not about connection emotionally and spiritually. It is about, I want sex. And so that's it. Like, that's the goal. So all those other things that she may assume, the wife may assume, well, listen, you seem to be connecting well out there. It's like, no, that was not real connection. That was a means to an end.
And that's why I say the toolbox was empty.
Exactly.
And she says, go get your toolbox and do all that stuff. It's like, no, I don't have those tools. I have the escaping and lying and conning and pretending toolbox, but you don't want me to use that one. Well, go to the other one now, the connecting, the empathy, the responsive, the attunement. Go, give me your good tools now. It's like, in blank stare. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? And it's too funny because I'll say empathy to a guy and he'll go, okay, empathy. I've got to be empathetic with my wife. I'm going to be empathetic. I mean, he's all logical. He doesn't know, but he goes, honey, I want to be empathetic with you. I've got to be empathetic. He still doesn't understand how to be present.
Yeah.
But by golly, he learned a new word and he's going to empathize all over himself.
And it's kind of like we never want to crush the zeal. But it's kind of like, even in the scripture, it talks about the emptiness of zeal without knowledge, right? There's more that you need to know about, and knowledge not meaning just head knowledge, but like zeal without understanding how to apply what you know is sort of like, listen, you're going to be a sounding gong. You're going to be windy. You're going to be, you might have a lot of bluster, but there's not a lot of substance, right?
So, and you love that because they're trying so hard.
Yeah, but I love how you said, I'm going to empathize all over you.
So I love this word empathy, because empathy is a skill, and it's the skill of practicing sadness with someone to empathize with you, right? Life is full of sadness. People are grieving all the time. I mean, we could come up with 100 things right now about how your kids are a disappointment, or how somebody's using your child, or they're stuck in anger, or me, or you, or spouse, or parents. I mean, we could just make a huge list of all the griefs we have in life. And the point of sadness, I've been playing with this, is to bridge me from this side to the other side. So to go across the bridge to go to the next place, I have to grieve and be sad. And if you want to join me, then you use empathy to join me. Does that make sense? That your skill is to empathize with me. Because I'm bridging a disappointment in life where, I mean, the kids drive mom crazy and then she cries on day one of school when they go to school, right? Her kids are growing up. So mm-hmm. She grieves, right? And just go right down the list. The jobs you didn't get that you wanted, the places you wanted to go. You thought you'd be healthy and then your health drops out from underneath you. I mean, we just grieve. We need to grieve. We need to be great at sadness. And your partner needs to be good at empathizing with you.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, and I have met a lot of Christians over the years that as this concept or as this talk about empathy has really started to gain traction in kind of the counseling world and all of that, they've been a little leery because some of a secular worldview attaches to this, and it can mean something very different in terms of what empathy is. So I'm going to make it very simple for maybe some of our Christian, you know, listeners and viewers that are going, man, empathy, it still feels like one of those, like, you know, words out there that's kind of more in the secular world, more in the compassion is the biblical counterpart of this. Because did you know what compassion literally means? That prefix com is with, right?
Okay.
Passion literally means suffer. When we think about the passion of Christ, it was the suffering of Christ. So what is that saying? To suffer with. That's what compassion is. So if you just want an interchangeable word with empathy that maybe feels more aligned with your Christian faith, compassion is it, because that's exactly what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
You say we've got to go into the sadness. What you're doing is somebody is feeling something, yeah. And they're feeling sad, they're feeling pain, they're feeling what, and in essence, what are they doing? They're suffering. There's a suffering,
yes,
that's going
absolutely,
on.
Absolutely.
And what you're saying is we've got to develop the skill and the presence to say, I want to come into that with you. I can't experience it for you, but I can come with you, right? And
yes.
Say, tell me more. Let me understand and kind of enter it with you. And yeah. In some ways, maybe be able to, like the Bible talks about bearing one another's burdens, right? That's another way that we can do that, is being an empathetic, compassionate listener when our spouse is struggling or hurting or feeling
right.
Deep emotions.
And expressing sadness.
Yeah.
And being present with them in that moment. And they feel your presence
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
You're practicing empathy, being with.
Yeah.
And I like this, being with them in their suffering. That is good. So let's go down the list.
Let me ask you this though, because I don't want to jump past these too quickly. So somebody might be asking, especially men who this is a brand new like thought, and like you said, they might be passionate to go, I want to know how to do that. What is the effect? The most common effect when a husband can learn to practice empathy with his wife, like what does that cause? You know, what are some of the outcomes that? Maybe another way to put it, maybe there's a crass way to put it. What are some of the benefits of learning to empathize in your relationship?
Well, I'm thinking, first of all, what does he have to do? He has to slow himself down, right? He has to sort of park wherever he is to the side and go, this isn't about me. And I have to do my best skills to stay with her so she's not alone. And so we can feel a connection between the two of us. Because wherever you are, I want to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to leave you there and be say, well, come on, get happy.
Yeah, right.
You
right.
know, sing and dance. No, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to sit with you. Because in the sadness, I think healing and transformation and acceptance is all happening. And so we have to stay with them. Because what you realize is they get tired of being sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm hungry. Let's go eat. I'm tired of that. Forget it. Let's go get, let's take a drive. Let's go get an ice cream, coffee, a pizza, or let's just go for a walk because I'm tired of being sad, right? So our body will self-regulate out of sadness most of the time. Okay, some people go into depression, but I'm talking about regular people who's lost their dog. And they're going to be sad for a while. They're going to grieve it, but they're going to get up and do the laundry and dress up and go to work, right? They will go on. So to be with them, right? Empathy is to be with you in your sadness and to make it about you. And in the end, you don't feel alone because we're one. I'm with you in the sad place and I'm okay. I accept sadness is life. I don't die here. I don't get lost in your sadness. It's your sadness. I just got to be here with you.
And I would say that then, if I'm hearing you right, one of the benefits of that is just deeper closeness, right? You feel the other person at another level than if you had just said, oh, I understand, and then move on with your day, right?
Right. Well, and you think about it, you know, attachment theory is built on a mother's love and the nurturing a child, that whole concept of, I'm safe with my mother, right? I want a safe context. I want a safe person in my life. If mother nurtured me and I know nurturing, then I want you to also be present and nurture me.
Yeah.
Right? That's the concept because, like, I am not standing on the mountaintop right now proclaiming victory and accomplishment. I'm down in the ditch bleeding out, and you know, I want you to come down and check on me.
Yeah.
Right? To be with me, to not leave me alone in my sadness.
Okay.
So
that's empathy.
Empathy. So the next word is attunement, to be in tune with, to get in sync with, to match my mood. So when I'm sad, you be sad. When I'm glad, you be glad. Attunement is to be in sync with, attuned to. Right? And it's interesting because there's this concept in counseling called matching, and it's a cousin to attunement. And so if somebody comes in and says, oh my goodness, you can't believe what happened. And you go, well, what happened? That's not good matching. When somebody says, hey, what happened? They're talking fast. They're talking, breathing shallow, but hey, you can't believe what happened. Then you say to them, oh my goodness, what happened? You match them. And immediately you're in tune. But if you go, man, you can't believe a car hit my dog. And you go, oh man, I'm just going to kick back right now and relax. It's like, man, I've had a good morning. Go ahead. Go on. Tell me the story. Go ahead. That's not a match.
Yeah.
Right? And you'll even see this. When one guy leans back and does this, the next guy leans back.
Right.
When somebody leans in, you lean in. Matching sort of happens, but people don't realize how powerful it is to attune or to match someone's pacing, someone's posturing. You know, if they're in a hurry, you got to speed up. If they're going slow, you got to slow down. Right? That's attunement, meaning you with me.
So it makes me think of, you know, I think of a tuning fork for like a piano.
Okay.
And so it is setting the tone, and then you have to adjust the strings on the piano to match that. Otherwise, you're out of tune. So like, if I'm hearing you right, the person who is first bringing whatever the situation is, they're the tuning fork.
Okay.
You have to match. You have to now match whatever that tone is that they're bringing. Is that a good
way
to kind of think of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a great way to remember that because I'm thinking, you know, my wife loves to remind me in sometimes subtle and not so subtle ways that I don't always match. Not my clothes, you know, but like she'll say, and the way she usually tells it is because we took a communications course together in college because that was my major, but she took a couple of communication courses and we had one that was together. The only thing she ever learned from those courses, and she brings it up now for 30 years, is that she keeps upping the percentage. I think originally it was about like 78%, but she's upped it to like 99. 99% of all communication is nonverbal. So in other words, your demeanor, yeah, your posture, yeah, your expression. And so it's like, that's exactly what you're talking about, right? Attunement is about that, right, reflecting and matching and connecting in that way.
It's funny because a good example is if I walk down a hall and somebody says, "Hey, how are you doing?" Then you know that's kind of a talking person. Somebody will walk down and say, "Hey."
Yeah.
They may or may not look up.
They might not make eye contact. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
And so matching says, if you don't talk, I don't talk.
Mm.
Because I'm going to respect your signal to me. Don't talk to me. How's it going? What's going on? That then you can, what? Hey, you can't believe. Oh, really? Now we're doing a rhythm. But some people are very private. They look down and say very little. And so that's my tendency, is just to match them so they're comfortable.
And you know what? As you were saying that, I was thinking how many of the men and the husbands that we've worked with over the years, this attunement is a big issue because they have built a life of isolation, yeah, and non-communication and all that. That's so maybe right, when their wife comes to them is wanting to express something, he's doing the, I'm closed off, I'm not going to match you. And it kind of keeps him in his own world and pushes her away. And
part, right, of the reason for that is like pulling on threads. You start pulling, there's a whole bar, a ball of yarn. I'm going to be pulling and more stuff's going to come, yeah, out. And a guy goes, I'm shutting everything down. If I give you anything, you're going to get to everything.
Hmm.
So I'm not letting you, I'm fine. It's all good. Nothing, fine, good, okay. Why are you talking to me like this? Like, wall up, protect, hide.
But for those guys who are saying, you know what, I want to get on a growth mission. I want to not just, become sober from my addiction, but I want to learn how to go deeper with my wife. This is exactly what you're talking about. Right. And this may be one of those simple little practices of just saying,
yes,
hey, listen,
absolutely,
over the next week, really try to concentrate on how well am I matching? I mean, we use a big, yes, word like attunement, right? But
yeah,
I like matching.
I like matching too.
How well am I reflecting? That's another,
yes,
way to think of it.
Yes.
Like how am I reflecting posture? How am I reflecting tone? How am I reflecting enthusiasm or sadness?
Well, and if you just watch your wife, she will show you what she wants, right? Mm. Because she will write a card to a friend. And what do you think she wants from you? A card?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. That costs so much. I'm going to spend money. Why are you spending money? I don't need a card. No. She's giving the card because that's her showing you how she expresses. And if you want to get in sync, then realize she likes
these little
behaviors mean a lot.
Yeah, that's really good. So even if I'm hearing you right, even in that, attunement can even be something that's not I'm almost thinking that some of this matching or reflecting or attunement can happen by observation, not,
yes,
necessarily because she's got her face pointed towards you and she's talking with you or whatever.
Oh, that's right.
So what you're saying is I can learn to attune to her if I watch her and go, oh, there's something that if I reflect that, that's going to be something that speaks to her and,
right,
connects with her.
And does she touch people? She likes to be touched.
Mm.
Does she hug people? She likes to be hugged. Right? We are living out who we are.
Yeah.
And you don't hide who you are. You live it out. If you don't like eye contact, you don't make much eye contact. You don't want eye contact, fine. I don't want it. You're living it out. You can't hide it. You're always, there's a rule, there's a principle in counseling called, you're always telling your story.
Mm, yeah.
When you talk, you're telling your story. Whatever you like, you talk about. Whatever you don't, you never talk about. You're all, by your words, where your framework, if you complain, you're unhappy. You're always telling your story.
Now, I just have to tell this quick story because, I'm a new grandfather. And so we have this little granddaughter, Nora. And so as soon as you were talking about how we just sort of live things out, and even this idea of reflecting, we're born with this need and desire to attune. Like even my little four-month-old granddaughter, if I'm holding her and she's facing me, now she's, the funny thing is she likes to look around. So I always joke about how, oh man, she doesn't like to make eye contact, you know? But as soon as she locks on, if I raise my eyebrows, she raises her eyebrows. If I smile, she smiles. If I make a frown, and she's already, like she's built in with this understanding of attunement.
Yes.
That you need to match and reflect, and that's the way we're going to connect. So,
yes.
That's so what's the last thing here then?
Responsiveness. So the last one is responsiveness. So, and that is to have a response to the struggle, right? What do you want to offer her? Because first we enter the sad state, then we attune with them. So we let them go where they need to go, and we stay with them because we're attuned. And then at some point, they start to shift out of this, and they want a response from you, and it's support. Encouragement, comfort. So since you've been watching me and walking with me, how are you going to respond? Well, they're universal, right? Everybody wants to be loved and encouraged and enjoyed and thanked and touched. Okay, a few people don't, but you know, these are the norms we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so how will you respond? Oh, God, are you done talking yet? You've been going on and on. How much longer do I have to listen to this, right? Bad response, you know? Better response, I'm sorry you're going through that.
Mm-hmm.
Great response, Father, my wife is struggling. Can you please help her? She's telling me about her pain, going to prayer. Great response. Talk to God about her pain. But...
And sometimes the response, like we mentioned earlier, sometimes the response can be nonverbal, meaning like it can be a hug.
Yes.
It can be something where it's like, I just need to hold her hand or something, you know, because sometimes depending on what the pain is and kind of what's happening, sometimes the right kind of silence and presence is a good response. I wrote down that under responsiveness, like let wisdom and kindness be a real guide. Because I mean, immediately I was thinking about some of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, patience, kindness, gentleness. These are great components of like, how do I respond to this? Because think about especially most of the husbands that we're talking to here that have come out of their own deep sexual brokenness, which is very self-centered, right? So sometimes even our response is born out of, well, let's make it about me now, you know, because I'm uncomfortable. And now I'm, you know, your sadness or your pain or whatever is making me uncomfortable. And sometimes our response can be trying to get our own comfort instead of going, wait a second. Let's show kindness. Let's show gentleness. Let's show love that this is really about her in this moment and not about me. And that's really hard sometimes for guys that all they've known is, let's make it all about me.
And so, you know me, as soon as we start to get uncomfortable, like, hurry up, get over it, we have to repeat a word.
Stay, stay, stay.
Stay, stay, stay. Right, if you want to grow, when you can't take it, just say one word. Stay, stay, stay. Hold, hold. Wait, wait, wait. Say something, because it's bringing your system back to rest. It's bringing your resource brain online. It's using language, and it's taking the next step. If I want to leave now, but I say stay, stay, guess what? I just bought myself a few more seconds. And she'll sense, oh, he's here with me. And stay, stay, stay means get yourself back to rest. Knock it off. You don't have to escalate right now. You don't have to leave right now. There's no emergency out there. The urgency is here. Comfort your wife. Stay, stay, stay. Stay, stay, stay. So that's number one. And number two is if she ever grabs your hand to hold it, do you know what she wants you to do? Grab her hand and hold it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've ever seen that, if you know she does that, remember, figure out what her language is if you can, and always use her language back on her. So then we're talking about how do we respond? if you just grab her hand.
Mm-hmm. Those are really good. And so I, you know, obviously these are all interwoven to each other. It's not like you go, okay, I've done empathy, and now let me go to attunement. And what my response, it's like it's all in. And by the way, these you can kind of go back and forth through these, because even when maybe you give a response to whatever she's first shared, guess what? There's another layer, and she might go to another place where she's like, well, let me tell you about this too. And that's where you got to stay, stay, right? And
training
by the way,
for man 101, stay.
And
stay,
here's the thing.
Stay longer, stay present.
For the wives who are hearing this and going, oh my goodness, this sounds like it's just a duty for these guys. Like they're trying. Listen, this is training, right?
Right.
You're talking about a guy who has not known how to stay at all. Yeah. And so would you rather have a husband that is saying, I need to do this because I need to realize I must stay, not as like, let me check a box in duty and I've got to hold her hand as all this is duty, but it's learning a new skill that he's not had in his toolbox, right?
That's right. Exactly right. He knows how to detach.
Yeah.
He's never learned to attach. And that's what we're trying to do, is train him to attach, something he's never done his whole life.
Yeah, so when we're talking about things like empathy, attunement, and responsiveness, we may immediately want to go to, you know what, I want to be on the professional level of empathy, attunement, and responsiveness. Well, you got to start out as a rookie.
First grade.
You got to start out on the practice team, practice squad. So
there you go.
That's what we're trying to just take whatever the next step is for getting better at these skills. And guess what? You know what? We're still on the growth mission too.
Amen.
We haven't perfected empathy, attunement, and responsiveness. Like
I think I'm going to stay.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, thank you for being with us. We always love that you're here.
Amen.
Reach out to us. We want to help you take your next best step towards wholeness in Christ. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
God bless.
Take care. We're in the final weeks of 2025, and we need your help to finish the year strong. Our ministry is a nonprofit organization that relies on support from generous champions like you so that we can continue providing excellent programs and services to individuals and families who reach out to us daily for help. And your donation will be doubled. That's right. We have a matching gift of $71,500 through December 31st. This means that for every dollar that you give, it will be doubled up to $71,500. So act now to double your impact. You can make your year-end contribution or become a monthly partner by visiting bebroken.org/give. That's bebroken.org/give. Or call 210-822-8201. Thank you so much for your partnership. We don't exist without you.